This is number I-4326. Derek Prince speaks on the subject, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. This message is entitled, Casting Down Strongholds.
The theme of this session is entitled, Casting Down Strongholds. And it's a session that will deal with spiritual warfare. We need to understand, first of all, why there is spiritual warfare. Who is fighting who? Which side are we on? So I want to turn, first of all, to Matthew chapter 12, a passage about the ministry of Jesus, which brings out the basic fact that there are two invisible spiritual kingdoms that are at war with one another. One is the kingdom of Satan, and the other is the kingdom of God. Now, I imagine most of you have no problem with the concept that God has a kingdom. Some of you may not be aware that Satan has a kingdom, but he does. And it's most important for us as Christians that we understand the nature of his kingdom and how it operates. Because if we are in the kingdom of God through Christ, we are automatically at war with the kingdom of Satan. You understand? Suppose I were a citizen of, let's say, Australia, and Australia was at war, which God forbid, with New Zealand. We trust that such a thing will never even enter people's minds. But if it were so, then as a citizen of Australia, I would automatically be at war with New Zealand because I belong to a nation that is at war with another nation. So if the kingdom of God is at war with the kingdom of Satan and we are in the kingdom of God, then we have no options. We are automatically at war with the kingdom of Satan, and it's very important for us to know it and to understand the nature of the war. So let me read this passage from Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 24. Jesus had just healed a man who was deaf and dumb by casting out the evil spirit that caused him to be deaf and dumb. Do you know that evil spirits cause people to be deaf and dumb? Well, when we were in Pakistan about 4 years ago, we were ministering to Pakistanis, naturally. And God opened a wonderful door because Pakistan is 98% Muslim. And we had the freedom to hold public meetings, and up to 16,000 people gathered. The reason why they gathered, there was one reason, because they had heard we would pray for the sick. That was the sole reason that most of them came. And in the course of ministry, Ruth and I plunged into a crowd of men who were standing before us waiting to be prayed for, and one man touched his ears and then touched his tongue. We couldn't speak their language, but I understood he was showing us that he was deaf and dumb. So I knew theoretically the right thing to do, and I thought, I'll do it and see what happens. So I said, you deaf and dumb spirit that's in this man, and I was speaking English, and he was deaf and dumb anyhow, so wouldn't have mattered what language I was speaking. I said, you deaf and dumb spirit that's in this man, I'm speaking to you and not to this man, and in the name of the Lord Jesus, I command you to come out of this man. Then I said to the man, now say something. And immediately he heard. He didn't understand, but he heard, and he began to make sounds. So they marched him up to the platform and told people that he'd been delivered from the deaf and the dumb spirit. And I said to myself, this thing works. So I think Ruth is here, and I like to her to check on my accuracy, but I think for the next 10 minutes we went around looking for deaf and dumb people. And in Pakistan they're not hard to find. And I think in the next 10 minutes we saw at least 10 people delivered from the condition of being deaf and dumb when the evil spirit was driven out of them. So I just say this because it's not a theory, it's not some old-fashioned tradition, it's a very living, up-to-date reality. Anyhow, when Jesus did this, we read what happened. When the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." They made a terrible accusation. They said he can cast out demons because he's in league with the ruler of the demons. Jesus answered and said, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how then will his kingdom stand?" So Jesus said very clearly, Satan has a kingdom, and it's not divided. Then he went on to say, "And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." There Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God. So in this ministry of delivering people from evil spirits, the clash between the two kingdoms is brought right out into the open. The kingdom, the invisible kingdom of Satan is represented by the demons. The invisible kingdom of God is represented by Jesus and by those who continue his ministry in his name. And I believe Satan particularly fears this ministry of deliverance because of two things. First of all, it brings out into the open his invisible kingdom, and he'd much rather have it invisible. And second, it shows the victory and the supremacy of the kingdom of God over his kingdom. But I'm just starting with that passage to show you that the New Testament reveals clearly there are two invisible spiritual kingdoms at war with one another, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Satan. Now, for a brief description of the kingdom of Satan and its headquarters, we turn to Ephesians chapter 6, which actually is an absolutely key verse on this whole theme. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says in verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Now, I would like to give you the Prince version of that verse. It's the Amplified Prince version. You ask me, am I qualified? Well, I have learned Greek since I was 10 years old, which is a long while now. And I'm qualified to teach it at university level. That doesn't mean necessarily I'm always right, but it gives me, I'm entitled to my opinion. So I'm going to give you the Amplified Prince version. "For our wrestling match is not against persons with bodies." Now that phrase is taken from the Living Bible, and I think it's a very good phrase. We are in a wrestling match, but we're wrestling persons who don't have bodies. Well, that immediately causes us to adjust our thinking, because we're not used to the concept of persons without bodies, although there are multitudes of such persons in the universe. Then he says, in the Prince version, "against rulers with various areas and descending orders of authority." So it's a very highly organized kingdom. There are rulers in this kingdom, each with a particular area of responsibility, and under each of those rulers there are sub-rulers who are responsible for sub-areas in that kingdom. Now you might say, well, Satan was very clever to devise such an organization. That's not so. The truth of the matter is that he rebelled against God, being, as most people believe, in charge of one-third of the creative angels, brought his angels into rebellion against God with him, and were cast out of heaven, and simply set up a rival kingdom, keeping the organizational structure that they had when they were part of God's kingdom. So he doesn't get any credit for this extremely clever organization. All right, I'm going to go to that part again. "Our wrestling match is not against persons with bodies, but against rulers with various areas and descending orders of authority, against the world dominators of the present darkness, And I deliberately use the word dominate because the Greek word is a very powerful word. And I choose the word dominate because God never dominates anybody. Wherever you encounter domination, it's something satanic. That's not how God rules people. But Satan's ambition is to dominate the whole world. Do you understand that? Not just some little part of humanity, but through a kingdom of darkness to dominate the whole world. And because his kingdom is a kingdom of darkness, the people who are in that kingdom, for the most part, don't know what they're in. You see, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of light. If we're in the kingdom of God, we know where we are, somewhat. But most of the people who are in Satan's kingdom don't know where they are because it's a kingdom of darkness they can't see. And then, going to the final phrase in verse 12, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies, or in the heavenly places. So there are vast armies, you know, and the word host is Old English for army, vast armies of satanic beings, persons without bodies, arranged in battle order against us. It's important that we know that, isn't it? It's going to make a lot of difference in our lives if we realize what we're up against.